Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this fine Thursday, just a few days before the matchup with the New Orleans Saints. And boy, oh boy, are my nerves starting to set in. It's starting to get to that point of the week where you start to realize that this season could come to an end Sunday. I mean, how many times have we experienced that this season so far? You go back all the way to right after the bye. We come out, you pick up a trade for Golden Tate, you have a promising outlook on offense, and then you just lay a couple eggs the next couple weeks, and then you start to get into the divisional matchups against the Giants. Carson kept us in that game. We come out in a one-score victory against that game. We take care of everything against the Redskins. Then we lose all hope against the Cowboys, and we thought it was all said and done there. Carson goes down for the season, and now we're just in limbo, and we're back in this Nick Foles story. He's thrust into a tough three-game stretch where nothing was guaranteed, and this team didn't even control their own destiny. They go on the road to the Rams, beat that team shockingly. The next week against Houston, do the exact same thing. We got a little help from the Bears the next week, and we took care of Washington. And then we get in, and we beat the Bears. And for the past 7 weeks, it's basically been the playoffs. So this team has been here for almost 2 months now in this position of do or die and must-win games. And they've come out on top for the most part. And there was a lot of ups and downs earlier in the season, but when this team needed to get hot at the right time, they did. All of the units are starting to come around now. The offense is clicking on all cylinders for the most part. The defense is just completely dominating, especially in the front four. They're getting help from guys like Cravon LeBlanc. Trayvon Hester won the game for them last week. He was a free agent earlier in the season. And it's coming down to that part where these depth players have to play roles, and you're seeing that. And on this episode, we're going to get into matching up the positional units between the Eagles and the Saints. We're not going to get into the X and O's about matchups today. I'll get into that either tomorrow or Saturday with Lou. But we're just going to break it down. Who has the better unit? We'll start with offense, work our way into the defense. And then at the end of the show and at segment three, I'll get into a betting breakdown. And this is how I like to go through when I do gamble, is break down these positional units and who favors what matchups. And we're going to get right into it. On the side of the quarterback, I think this game really has brought everything full circle to the Nick Foles story. And I've said that the last couple podcasts, that Nick and Drew went to the same exact high school, first off, which is completely bananas. They both won state championships. They were both excellent players. Both come out. Drew Brees goes to Purdue, top-rated quarterback, and Nick Foles goes to Arizona, and he's not so much sought after as Drew Brees was. They're both in the NFL. Drew Brees, he wins a Super Bowl over 10 years ago. Excellent Super Bowl. Nick Foles, he really sputtered around. He had a great season, that 27-2 season. He comes out, makes the playoffs with Chip Kelly. And who does Nick Foles lose to in that game besides Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints? A game in which Nick Foles left with the lead, and I know that's a good talking point for people, that he's never really lost a playoff game. I mean, he came out needing a defensive stop in that game, and he didn't get it that time around. So now we're all back to square one where we were in 2013, where these teams, they're both exceptional at this point in the season. I know New Orleans kind of faded out towards the end, but Drew Brees is still Drew Brees at home, and that's why I'm going to give the edge in the quarterback ranking to Drew Brees, simply because he's done it time and time again. At home, he is just lethal. It need not be said about how great that team is in the dome. It's one of the hardest places to play. Drew Brees excels there more than anybody. The crowd lets him do what he wants. And on the other side, the crowd is going to be in Nick Foles' ear all game long. I do trust Nick in this game to control the ball better than he did last time. But all said and done, Drew Brees is the guy, clear cut. He's the better quarterback in this game, I would have to say. Nick Foles, although he's been hot, I have to give the slight edge to Drew Brees. Moving on to the running back position, I think this is probably the easiest one I've had to decide on out of all the positional groups. Easily goes to New Orleans. The Eagles, they really couldn't do much the last couple weeks in the running game outside of some good bursts from Wendell Smallwood. They're still trying to figure out a rotation. Josh Adams, he got playing time. Now he's not getting playing time. Wendell Smallwood wasn't getting playing time. Now he is getting playing time. It's just a mishmash of components. Darren Sproles is thrown in there as well. And Boston Scott even got a snap last game. And hey, maybe it's the Boston Scott revenge game this week against the Saints, as he was picked up earlier in the season off of waivers from them. But clear cut, far and beyond what the Eagles have at running back, the Saints have a two-headed monster in Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. And those two guys, they wreaked havoc on us the last time. It was just mayhem. Kamara is arguably one of the best pass-catching backs in the NFL right now. The Eagles have struggled against pass-catching backs, so how are they going to limit him? We'll figure that out. It's going to be a tough test, but all in all, you have that two-headed monster against an Eagles team. I think Kamara and Ingram definitely take the advantage there. Now we get in a wide receiver, and this is tough, because if you're going to look at this in regards to quantity versus quality, it could be split almost down the middle. I mean, Michael Thomas, in my opinion, top three wide receiver in the league at this current point in time. He just catches everything. His name is Can't Guard Mike for a reason. You literally can't guard this guy. We couldn't guard him the last game. But outside of Michael Thomas, depth is an issue for this team. I mean, you look why they brought in Dez Bryant before he tore his Achilles. They needed that number two. They brought in Brandon Marshall. He didn't pan out. So far, it's been Tre'Quan Smith, and we saw a fair dose of him that game week 11. He did a pretty good job, but they don't have the quality depth that the Philadelphia Eagles do past Michael Thomas. You go down, you have Tre'Quan Smith, you have Ted Ginn, you have Cam Meredith, who really doesn't play all that often, Keith Kirkwood, Tommy Lee Lewis, Austin Carr, these guys, basically no-name guys outside of Michael Thomas. So it's going to be intriguing to see how they match up, if they want to take Michael Thomas and make these other guys like Tre'Quan Smith beat them again, which I don't think Doug Peterson will make the same mistake twice. But getting into Philadelphia's receivers, I just really have trusted this receiving group down the stretch. Alshon Jeffrey has been resurgent under Nick Foles. He's really gotten going down the road. Golden Tate, hey, finally worth that third-round pick after his performance last week. I think this is a game he's going to have to be pivotal in. He's going to have a very good matchup. And Nelson Agholor, the same thing. I think those two, you're going to have to exploit the secondary of the Saints team, which isn't their strong point. But all in all, in regards to receivers, I think the Philadelphia Eagles take it. I mean, Alshon, you could say he's a couple notches below Michael Thomas. He doesn't have the top-end speed that Michael Thomas has. He doesn't get extreme separation like Michael Thomas has. But when the ball's in the air, Alshon Jeffrey, he is as good as anybody in the NFL. And in depth, the Eagles take it away. Far and wide past what the Saints have beyond their number one. So I'm going to give the edge to the Eagles in the department of wide receiver. Let's move to the offensive line here. I think last year the Saints really excelled in regards to the offensive line. You had Ryan Ramczyk come in and have an excellent rookie season. He was one of the best tackles in football. But this year they kind of fell off a little bit. You've had Larry Warford. He's had a really tough go of it. Same with Andres Pete. Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, they really are good tackles, but they haven't had that elite season in which they had last year. But when all said and done, they're still ranked in the top 10 by Pro Football Focus. Same with the Philadelphia Eagles. If you put context behind what the Eagles do, if you take out the beginning of the season when this offensive line was really trying to get healthy and trying to get going, I mean, Jason Kelce hyperextends his elbow. Jason Peters is in and out of the lineup. Lane Johnson is in and out. Now these guys are starting to settle in, and you saw what they've done the last 5 weeks. We've said it time and time again, so we don't need to get into it, but when you're shutting down elite pass rushers like they have been the past weeks, keeping the pocket clean for Nick Foles, I mean, over the last seven games, they've dropped from 3.1 sacks allowed in the first 10 to just 1.4. So the pressure isn't getting to Nick Foles as much, or to the quarterback position as much as it was earlier in the season. So for that reason, I'm slightly giving the edge to the Eagles. I really do love New Orleans' offensive line. They keep Drew Brees upright for the most part. But the Eagles, the way they've been playing, you really can't take anything away from them. Lane Johnson, you can't give the guy any more motivation than he has right now. He's playing out of his mind. And I think Jason Peters is going to have another big game. Moving on to the final position on the offense, tight end. This was another easy one. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, Zach Ertz. Hopefully he starts to get things going in this game. He has a tough matchup against a good coverage linebacker in Alex Anzalone and a Marcus Williams, who's great in coverage at the safety position. But then you look at Dallas Carter, and once again, he was essential in that victory. He picks up a big, big first down late in that game. And I think if you're going to get going against this Saints team, that you have to get Goddard involved one way or another. I think the tight end position far, far, far more exceptional on the side of the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at what New Orleans has. They don't have a Jimmy Graham type. You're looking with a elderly Benjamin Watson and Josh Hill, and you could even say Taysom Hill can take some reps there, but you're not going to take away Zach Ertz, in my opinion, all-pro, Hall of Fame-type season, and Dallas Goedert, who obviously is the best tight rookie tight end this season, so I have to give the advantage to them. All in all, on offense, I think I have to give it to the Saints. If you were to put it all into one, you're going to look through this offense through a vacuum. They've just been way more efficient scoring-wise. The Eagles, they've been moving the ball better as of late, but I still think with the running game, which New Orleans can get going with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, they can be a lot more dangerous than what Philadelphia can provide out of the backfield. But the wide receivers, you know they can open things up for Philadelphia. But when all said and done, I'm going to give the advantage to the offense of the New Orleans Saints. And when we come back, we're going to get into the defensive side of the ball, somewhere where it's pretty split. Both of these teams have very good run defenses, but on the other end, they have very poor defenses. So come right back to the next segment of Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to segment number two of this Thursday, January 10th edition, just 3 days away from the big, big divisional matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints, I'm just sick of playing them in the playoffs. Hopefully we're on the better end of things this time. I'll tell a quick funny story. This was 2006, right? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the Reggie Bush game. I was really into the Eagles that time. I had a little bit of a temper tantrum, and when they lost that game, I took my jacket and I threw it down on the table, which at my house had a glass countertop to it, and the zipper hit it just right and it shattered. And man, oh man, my dad was after me after that. So I just have bad taste in my mouth with the Saints. I just want to beat them in the playoffs for once. Let's hope we come out on the other side of it this time. And how I think the Eagles win this game is with this defense. So getting started, the front four, both teams, exceptional talent in the front four. I'm not going to give the Saints as much of an upper hand as I gave the Bears front four last week, but man, Cam Jordan, one of the top five defensive ends in football, he's truly unbelievable, wreaks havoc all across the board. He's great run stuffer, he's great rushing the quarterback, one of the underrated, I would say, defensive ends in this league. Then you're moving over to guys like Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata in the interior, and those guys have really come on. I was a really big fan of Sheldon Rankins when he came out that year. He's really took a little bit to develop, but he's come into his own, a very good run stuffer. He can get after it with the quarterback position. Then one name that I think is very underrated that a lot of people don't talk about, obviously because they have Cam Jordan, is Alex Okafor, and I was lucky enough to study him in the scouting academy, and he comes out of a wide nine, he comes out of a 5-6 and 7, even a 9 tech position. That means they're outside the exterior of the offensive tackle, and he has a good first step. He's explosive, and he can get into to the chest of a tackle and really wreak havoc, and he's had a very good season this year. So I expect the tackles to have the upper hand in this one, but when you have guys like Cam Jordan, Alex Okafor, and a rookie Marcus Davenport, who still has been contributing in the pass rush game, that's a good defensive line. But on the other side of things, the Philadelphia Eagles, man, do we have to say any more about this team? Just You have Barnett go down earlier in the season. That was a tough blow. You have guys in and out. You had T.Y. McGill taking snaps the last time the Eagles played. But now, man, you have Brandon Graham once again playing at an elite level, both in pass rush and the run defense. Fletcher Cox, all pro, far and away, unbelievable. Trayvon Hester, he's graded at one of the top 10 defensive tackles in football, which is, top 20, I think it is. He has come on as an undrafted free agent and played well, and for a position that didn't have the deepest rotation when Haloti Ngata was hurt, there was really nobody outside of Fletcher Cox, and Trayvon Hester has really come in and solidified that third defensive tackle role when Michael Bennett has to play out wide, because he is very good moving inside in those NASCAR packages. He's been playing great. Chris Long has been playing great. All in all, I'm going to give the slight edge to the Philadelphia Eagles. They've been creating the most pressures in the league. Both quarterbacks are good against the blitz, but I trust this Eagles team to hit home more against the offensive line of the Saints than I do in the opposite regard. So we're going to give the slight edge to the front four to the Philadelphia Eagles. Moving to linebackers, once again, I think it is right down the middle. Jordan Hicks was essential in that game last game. Nigel Bradham had his best game, in my opinion, since that I like to reference that Carolina game last year when I was sitting on a plane and I couldn't even cheer for the team because I was on a plane, obviously, and I'm watching Nigel Bradham have one of these outstanding performances, and looking back to Chicago last week, that was the exact same game. He was all over the field. He tracked Mitch Trubisky really well when he had to spy him, and you're not going to be able to spy Drew Brees. You know why? Because he can't run. So now you're able to bring Bradham back, allow him to run around, make those tackles, get out in space, and I don't think you're going to see much of Kamu in this game. I think they're going to try to keep the two linebackers on the field, play bigger, bring more defensive backs in, and I think those two are very good, but the way the Saints linebackers have been playing and running around has been unbelievable. Alex Anzalone, I think, is going to be key in coverage against guys like Zach Ertz. I mentioned that earlier. He's had a great season. Demario Davis is one of my favorite linebackers to watch. AJ Klein as well. They are very good. Those guys can all flock to the football. Very sure-handed tackling defense. I'm going to give the slight upper hand to the linebackers of the Saints. Very close. But I think this could be an X factor in this game. Whoever's linebackers, one, can cover better, and two, can tackle better, because you've seen the Eagles falter in open field tackling this season. If they can really solidify that open field tackling and cover well, I think the Eagles can have the upper hand, but straight positional unit, I'm going to give it to the New Orleans Saints. We're going to move to the secondary now and the cornerback position. Oh, man, one of the worst cornerback games I've ever seen for the Philadelphia Eagles was that New Orleans Saints game. I was in Philadelphia when Byron Maxwell got toasted by Jameis Winston for 3 touchdowns. It was mayhem, but the New Orleans Saints game this season was just a pure embarrassment. But the thing is, you don't have guys like Shandon Sullivan, who got fooled by every single jet motion in the world, or Devontae Bousby, who is very poor in coverage. On this team currently, you have a resurgent group in Rasul Douglas. You have a resurgent Avante Maddox, who almost saw his season end against the Saints. He's going to be in for a little redemption this game. He got beat on a couple sluggos last game against Allen Robinson, and you know Michael Thomas runs that route unbelievably. So expect him to have a better game. Cravon LeBlanc, he has been essential, and I loved that quote by Jim Schwartz that he didn't even know who the guy was, and now he's your starting nickel corner. And he was essential in winning that Bears game. You saw that pass breakup that was almost a fumble. That was truly unbelievable. You looked at him and you thought he was a 10-year veteran the way he played last game. And one key to this Eagles secondary that I think is going not so much talked about is the return of Sidney Jones. He was in practice today, which is quite intriguing because past him, the depth is just not there. Once you get past Cravon LeBlanc, they didn't have much depth at the corner position. Honestly, I can't even name who the fourth cornerback is at this current point in time. I think we have Josh Hawkins. That's who it was. Sorry, it slipped my mind for a second. I've never seen the guy play. I can't even tell you if he could cover me for that. Obviously, he could cover myself, but to have Sidney Jones as the fourth corner that you could toss in there in some packages, and Jim Schwartz maybe could work him in there for 5 to 10 snaps if his hamstrings are ready, That may be key, that you are able to move guys around, get him on the field, possibly, to bring some intrigue to that corner position. But on the other side of the football, a pass defense that is just as bad as Philadelphia, outside of Marshon Lattimore, who is elite in coverage, is not having as great of a season as he had last year. Eli Apple, he is, oh, just take him out to the trash. He stinks. I don't think the Eagles exposed him the way they should have the last game. And same thing with PJ Williams. I really don't think they exposed either of those two gentlemen how I think they can expose them. And this is much like the wide receiver position in Marshon Lattimore. Clear cut, far and away, is the best corner. You can leave him out on an island against any Eagles receiver, and he's going to match up really well. Do I trust the Eagles to leave any of their corners out on an island against Michael Thomas? No, I do not. I think they're going to have to bracket coverage him a lot, get two guys on him. But both depth, I don't think either of them have strong depth. I'm going to call this one a draw. I mean, I like the Eagles if you're going to wait it. I think their average is better than New Orleans. I think Eli Apple and PJ Williams weigh them down a lot. Hopefully they can exploit them this time around, but I'm going to call it a clean draw. Moving to the safety position, I really wish we had Rodney McLeod this game. Unfortunately, we don't. We're going to be stuck watching Corey Graham struggle to get outside the numbers again. He just is, he moves at a snail's pace sometimes. But the good thing is, we have Malcolm Jenkins on the other side, and you know more than anybody on that field come Sunday, he wants to win this game. He's had bad blood since they let him walk in free agency. You saw him flip off Sean Payton in the last game, and this whole team has bad blood, but Malcolm Jenkins takes this game personally. I know he's going to want to get in there, have a huge game. I think he does come out and have a huge game, but on the other side of the ball, the Saints safeties are very good. Marcus Williams had a very impressive rookie season this year, has come around after that Minnesota Miracle really got into his head. Have to drop that just because the Saints didn't make it to the NFC Championship game last year. Hopefully they don't this year as well, but it was all on Marcus Williams' shoulders, who has come around, had a better overall season this time around. Von Bell, very, very good in run defense. He can make tackles. Both of those guys can make tackles, and for that reason, I'm going to give the edge to the Saints just because I do not trust any safety outside of Corey Graham. I do not trust Corey Graham. I trust Malcolm Jenkins. Trey Sullivan, he's been hit or miss. Who knows what kind of game he's had. But Sean Payton made a reference of him in his conference call with Eagles media. So, however they deploy this defense is going to be very intriguing. But all in all, I give the edge to the Saints in regards to the safeties. In total, I'm going to call this one a straight draw down the middle for defenses. I think both run defenses are very good. They both rank in the top 10. Both pass defenses rank in the bottom 5. Very bad. It's just going to come down who can create more pressure and get to the quarterback and create turnovers. Much like that Chicago Bears game last week. I do think the Eagles will be able to move the ball in the run game a lot better than they did against Chicago. And I hope and I think, and I'm fairly confident, that they will be able to move the ball better in the air this go-around against the Saints. And that is going to be all down to the coaching, which is our final category of this game. And Doug Peterson calls a better game in the playoffs than most coaches do. We had questions about his play calling earlier in the season. He's finally come around, been calling strong games the last 5 weeks. Same with Jim Schwartz. I have to owe him an apology. I was really getting after him the way he was deploying his personnel earlier in the season, the way he was calling games when Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills were in there. But he's really settled into his own. He's dialed up blitzes at the right time. But on the other side of the football, you have Sean Payton, who's now had basically a year to scheme this game. He said he was scheming after the Saints loss to play the Eagles last year in the NFC Championship game. So you know this is personal to him as well. I'm going to give the slight edge to Sean Payton in this game. He's had so much experience in this department in the playoffs. Coming around, he really wants to beat this Eagles team. Doug Peterson beat him in golf earlier in the season to wear the whites in New Orleans. So these guys all have bad blood, but Sean Payton has been here time and time again. He has a great rapport with his quarterback, Drew Brees. I think he's going to call a good game. I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be within a one score, and I'm going to get into it in this final segment really quick about how I think this game is going to break down. Vegas has some intriguing lines out there for for you folks who like to gamble, and myself included, and I think this one is going to be a lot closer than what Vegas says. And, you know, if you want to put some money on the game, like I probably will, make your way on over to MyBookie. And NFL playoffs are here, as we know, and it is time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives and friends sit around the game around and watch the games. Not this year, when it's the 53rd Super Bowl, and it's right around the corner. Hopefully the Eagles will be playing in it. It's really the most wonderful time of the year. I'm a big Christmas guy, but playoff football, there's nothing better. Make sure you're ready in the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, actually Super Bowl season, you got to make your way to MyBookie. I trust them. Lou trusts them. Good friend Tyler Steggy trusts them. We'll all have accounts through MyBookie. Very fun time gambling with them. So take yourself on over there, and you don't have to take my word for it. Just trust the millions of people that have signed up with MyBookie. So go check them out for yourself today. Join now and MyBookie will match your offer for a 50% deposit bonus. You will get 50% of the money you deposit, and then if you'll get a bonus worth that much. So if you deposit $100, you'll get $50 bonus. And make sure you have a nice bankroll for the Super Bowl season. Make sure you win some money, and hopefully the Eagles can help you out in that department. So to take advantage of this offer, you're going to use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate that offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. And you use that promo code at MyBookie, you win, you play, and you get paid. Welcome on back, everybody, to the final segment of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And really quick, we're going to finish it up with just a quick betting preview of this game. The Eagles are once again underdogs. It really is shocking to me that they continue to make this team underdogs in the playoffs. Of course, they're underdogs going into New Orleans, where they were upset earlier in the season. They've had very bad success in New Orleans in the playoffs. But once again, the Eagles are underdogs, and you know who's quarterbacking this Philadelphia Eagles team? Nick Foles. You know what his record is in the playoffs as an underdog? 4-0. So, for some reason, Vegas gave the Eagles 8 points. I actually have a bet with my one friend who thinks the Eagles are going to get blown out of this game, and he gave me 10 points. So I told him I hope he has a crisp $100 bill to hand me after this game, because the Eagles are going to keep this game close. I think there's too much bad blood between these teams to let it get out of hand. I really think the Eagles are going to scheme better. Their offense has been playing better. Their defense has been playing better. And a whole other gamut of reasons, X's and O's wise, which I got into with Tyler Steggy a couple days ago. And you should go check out that episode, because I think I made some good points to convince you to want to bet on this Eagles team. Once again, it's 8 points. The over and under is 51. I expect it to be a high scoring game. 51 seems right around where I think this game will finish. I think it's a 27-24 score. I think the Eagles keep it within one game. And that's solely because the way their run defense has come around and their pass defense. I really don't think this game is going to get out of hand. I think this team is going to play a lot of that quarter's coverage. I think you saw it against Houston, or it was against the Rams, mind you, when they really didn't let anything get behind them. And that's the key to this game. You can't let Michael Thomas get behind you like you did Allen Robinson last week on a couple of those sluggo moves. And this defense, you have to keep everything in front of you and just rally to the ball, tackle well, which this team has done. And in the last 7 games, they've really come on in both departments. They've dropped from, what, 3.1 sacks allowed a game to 1.45, and they've scored 20.5 points in the first 10, now scoring 25.4 average in the last 7 games. They're really coming around. But there's some bad news in the betting department. Doug Peterson, when he's playing a team for the second time that he's lost by more than 20 points earlier in the year or a year prior, is 0-3. Not a great prerequisite for Doug. But Philadelphia, away this season, 5-4 against the spread. Not too shabby. Nick Foles himself this season is 5-1 against the spread. Not too bad as well. The Saints at home, shockingly, are 500. They're 4-4 at home against the spread. But they're very good, very good at home. And it's so hard to tell how games play out in the dome. You're really going to tell from the first couple series how it's going to play out. Do the Saints come out flat after resting their starters for 3 weeks? I think so. And that's why I don't think this game is going to get out of hand. If the Saints had a game prior, if this was the NFC Championship, I would be very, very worried that this game could get out of hand quick. But I think the Eagles come out fast on both offense and defense. I think they try to punch them right in the mouth. Something they couldn't do last week was take deep shots down the field against the Bears. I think they're going to come out very early, take a deep shot, try to stun the Saints and try to get into their heads. And I think the 8 points is just absolutely ludicrous. And like I said before the break, go on over to MyBookie and put as much money as you can on Philadelphia plus 8. You're giving this team points against a team that they have such bad blood with. The only loss that Nick Foles has had in his career in the playoffs was to New Orleans. This could be his last game ever, and if you don't think this team is going to play their hearts out to get after this team, a team that Malcolm Jenkins said after the game that they all knew where they were coming next and that they've marked this game on the calendars for a long, long time now because they were a split second away from playing them in the NFC Championship game last year. All said and done, I think the Eagles keep it close. I'm expecting them to win, obviously. I'm an Eagles fan. I think they win this game. But if they don't, I think it's another last-second loss like they saw in 2013. I can't see it getting out of reach. I see them losing by a maximum of 5 points. If you could get them at 8, absolute lock. And that's a great way to finish another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at Gino_LOE. You can find Lou on Twitter at DBAssiLOE. You can find our Twitter account at Locked On Birds. And once again, everybody, thank you for tuning in. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.